going to resume shortly. All right. I'm happy to take this last session with you. Whatever questions you want to raise up, I'd be happy to take that up with you. And if you want to raise questions along the way, let's do that. Okay? And if not, because I'm just trying to give you all the principles that are there, and that will give you the whole idea of how to battle the evil one. Okay? All right, well, let's begin in prayer together. Our Father, we ask you to continue to lead us and open our hearts and our minds to your word, so that our hearts would be truly able to sanctify you for all that you are to us. You, your love, your word, all that we know about you, all the promises, until our heart is truly, fully, wonderfully sanctified. We pray for your blessings. Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now here's a quick question. Right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Okay, now this is very important for us to... In Matthew 7, we have the Lord Jesus saying to all the people who were hearing him. And he said, now watch this very carefully, first and foremost, in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, in chapter 7, we have a lot of problems already, right? There are the false teachers. Once the false teachers get in, the people who follow them are also false. You see the problem? Now, you've got to go back to Matthew 7 so that you can pay attention to the text. It will help you a great deal. But we're just looking at these things here generally. You won't catch it. So you need to look at this in greater detail. Let's take a look very carefully. Okay, now, what the Lord says, narrow gate, and then talking about how difficult, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way, which leads to life. And there are few who will find it. Now, that's where we're starting point. So there are two gates, right? One, two. Two ways, narrow, broad. We have to choose the narrow, even though it may be difficult. Okay, that's one, the narrow way. The next part of it is that, how do you know you are walking along the right path? Well, how do you know a person is a real believer? How do you know? Well, you know them by their fruits. That's what we are looking at, the next section here, right? So this is important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay, so from 15 down to 20 by their fruits. Then there are those who say, they will protest and they will say, but we really know you. In your name, we did this, we did this. Notice, the focus is on doing or on serving, at least in their mind. I'm serving. Right? And yet the Lord rejected them. Now, then he concludes with all of that. And it's concluded, whoever hears. Now, the idea of whoever hears does not mean necessarily that they are hearing. Remember Deuteronomy. Right? The Lord has not given to them a heart that understands, has not given them ears to hear, eyes to see. So they actually have eyes, ears, and heart, but they don't know how to comprehend the Lord's things. Right? So this is a big problem. Whoever hears these words of mine, right, these sayings of mine, then one, two, must do them. You hear, but you don't do, it's no use. Right? This is important. So we need to hear, we need to do, and then I will liken him to a wise man. Then there will come wisdom, but you must know how to build his house on the rock. Now, if you are not building properly, you're not building on the rock, you're just building, then one of these days you'll find that you're building on the wrong thing. That is the important thing for us to appreciate. Right? So now this is where we ask ourselves, okay? Now, what are these foolish people all about? First and foremost, are these people believers? No. Right? It's like seed sown. The seed is still sown. But what kind of ground? Hard ground. What kind of ground? Stony ground. What kind of ground? Thorny ground. So what do they have? No fruit, nothing. Nothing will come out of it. So the seed is sown, but nothing comes out of it. So what's a big deal? It's not that you lost your salvation. You can't lose it. Right? But when you don't even have it, what is there to talk about losing when you don't even have it? But how do you know you have it? The fruit will tell you whether you have it or you don't. Right? So this is the issue of, now, are you really that wise person? Now, this is about building. Okay? Now, this is important. Now, we are now looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for example. Right? So when we look at 1 Corinthians 3, you see this very, very clearly. Right? And it's just important for us to take note of. Okay? So this is the context of it all. In the church, first, they are already a part of the Corinthian church. Right? They are blessed with many gifts. There are many talented people there. They are, as it were, serving the Lord. But something went wrong. What went wrong? Sanctifying work went wrong. Not God's part, but man's part. This is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7, after writing the entire chapter, whole book, entire epistle, he goes back to, let's go back to what we need to learn. What is it that we need to learn? And it is the obvious what we need to learn. We need to cleanse ourselves from all these things. Right? So what happens when they were there? Well, Paul then reminds them, okay? This is very important for us to understand. Okay, here we go. And he talks about, according to the grace of God given to me, as a wise master builder, I have built foundation, and another one builds on it. So the Corinthian church was already, the foundation was already there. Right? Because Paul was there 18 months, he had laid the foundation. Right? Now, what happens when other people take over? Right? Now, this is very important. What happens if people take over? Let's say we look at the church. You know, this is the Corinthian church. Right? The foundation has been laid. And the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he stands for. His teachings, his life, everything. Right? So now Paul has to go somewhere else to minister for the Lord. The people who took over began to build, but not on this. They chose whatever they want, wood, hay, straw. How? Wrong people came in. Yes, Ken. Anybody wants to go, come and serve Ken. Oh, everybody will come. That's not true. When you want to have people who come in the sing choir, please audition them first. Right? They are called, but they're natural singers. Why? No sharp, no flats. Now you have a problem there. Right? Obviously, they're not going to be of any use of any way. And this is important. Right? No matter how much your heart wants to sing, it's wonderful to be able to sing, yes, but not necessarily in a choir. Right? This is important for us to want to say, what foundation are we building on? What kind of material? So if you want to say, anybody will do, because you are a man player, never mind, it's okay. This one is my cousin, this one is my nephew, this one is my niece, this one is my auntie. Everybody related, because, okay, we're going to get sunk along the way, That's true. Don't do that. Pick gold, silver, precious stones. But remember, when you look at a bit of gold, you know, in Australia there is a little bit of a mine, one of the towns there, and they will tell you, you pay them, I think $10 or something, or I don't know how much it costs, but and then they'll give you a little, they're little gold nuggets, and you put it inside there, and then, okay, you try and see for the next few minutes, you can, well, right? So I tried that one day, and $10-$20, and it was during the winter time. And he says, well, this is how they mine for gold. Try. You have half an hour. I say, half an hour. Wow, that's a long time. Very easy. In 10 minutes, I want to get out of the cold. The water was cold. The work was hard. You got to stand up here and try to shovel the thing here. At the end of 10, 15 minutes, I could find nothing. I said, are you sure? I told you, I show you the little nuggets of gold that I put inside. Try and find it. It looks like sand. It just really look the color of sand. Right? So then if you happen to be there, at that point of time, my little son was very young, and he went there, and this was 5 minutes, he found the gold. I took 20 minutes, and I quit. I said, you want to pray, you carry it. I'm not going to break my back. See, that's where gold is. It's in the midst of a whole lot of stuff. And one tiny piece of gold, right? What tiny little piece of gold like that was worth $25. It's more than what you would pay for your going in. $25 for just one little nugget. Right? So what is that all about? That's how hard it is to find gold. So one, not easy to find people of gold value. Right? But if you want to build, remember the foundation is there. You can't change the foundation, but you now choose gold. Look for it. Right? You look for people who are silver. Maybe not the same high level, but the next level is just as good. Because not all materials should be gold. Some materials are best done in silver. Right? Now, you look at precious stones, and that becomes a really hard. John was telling me about a man who had working in the mines in Myanmar. And the mine collapsed on him. And he died. Never found his body. It was completely buried. What was he looking for? Gems. Gems, no need, they'll find you. But gems, you have to find. And that's what it is. Right? Precious stones. Are they there? Easily found? No. So let us say you pick up the gold. So there's a lot of muck here. I've got to wash out everything in order to find gold. Same with silver. It's in the ground. Right? It's in all that is going to be there. You've got to find it. It's in the hills, it's in caves, or whatever the place may be, you find it. But by themselves, they are of no particular value. You need to extract them, you need to polish them, you need to get them ready, you need to do a lot of hard work to find that one, especially precious stones. Right? So when people find rubies, people think, oh, straight away come on like that. This is not true, they're all polished. A piece of diamond is nothing by itself. It has to be polished, and you must be able to bring out all the things. And everyone, if you know how, they're all flawed somewhere, somehow. Right? Now, this is very important. I had a friend who one day said she was given a special gift of a diamond from the husband. It's one of those rare diamonds in the world that is slightly pink in color. I said, sorry, but you don't wear it. He said, no, these are cannot wear. So what is your gift for in the safe? So you just imagine wearing a ring, and that ring is a house. The cost of it is a landed property house, one bubble. What do you do with it? Well, for the church, it is to make it beautiful. That's what David was told. We're going to make this. This is for the house of the Lord. It's for the beauty of the house of the Lord. It must be excellent. That's what we do. So that is a plight now to people. Right? So some are gold, silver, precious stone. I am the dirt. Ah, yeah, please, not much use there. Who sells dirt? You've got to take away all the things which should not be there and then look at it, polish it. And everyone needs to be polished. But you say, I'm just a raw, rough diamond. Not much use. Rough diamonds are ugly. They really are. They're worth nothing much. There is a beauty there, but you don't let a person train you, coach you, equip you, help you to shine, you never will. That's how it works. Unfortunately, we all think, no, but I can shine by myself. Shame. What's the point? Right? This, you really, I'm smiling, but in the dark. Who knows you're smiling in the dark? Who cares? You've got to do it, whatever it takes to count. And this is a sanctification process. This is the theme of this particular camp. Right? Now, if we don't look at it, how we can improve and things like that, and I'll tell you this, this is not an easy thing to do. And you take a look at these things here, and we want to see how people can actually grow and improve all the time. The problem is people think that I already am. This is a big problem in pastoral field. And people, they go to seminary, and they have a bachelor's degree, and they have a master's degree, and a doctor's degree, whatever the case may be. And they think, I'm now ready to serve God. Are you? Right? In a recent study a couple of years ago, those who come up with a master's degree in theology and all that, over 60% of them fail in real life ministry. Why? You see, you don't understand theological education. It has nothing to do with ministry. It's just studying books. Nothing more than that. Does it really equip you for real life? No. They fail in real life. I've seen them. I've seen the local people over there, and they try and show off their knowledge, and they try to speak in such a way that it's all affected language. And I'll tell you, that's terribly unimpressive. You need to be equipped. And it's not through Bible school that you see the equipping. And so the Lord allows a lot of things to happen, sometimes suffering, right? And the suffering can take away the pride in the life of a person. I know a lot that God sometimes has to knock down that pride before you can be of use. But it's only one area. You look at our lives, so many different areas need to be literally knocked about. Suffering will take place. That's where you will find this one is gold, silver, precious stones. But a lot of people don't like the process. That I must submit to you. See, principle of submission. They reject principle of submission. I don't want to be. I just want to be me. Why can't I be me? Fine, I'm not here. That doesn't work. It really, really doesn't work at all. Right? Why? Because these are biblical principles. We have to look at, ultimately, our submission is to God Himself because He laid down these foundations. So when you resist it, who are you resisting? God. Without even realizing, you have just really hindered your own self. You could have been, somebody could have taught you how to grow properly, how to serve properly. But you want to do your own thing. Fine, go ahead, do it. Remember, Hosea, leave him alone. How far will you go? What honor do you have? What regard do you have? Where is the fruit? Nothing will come out of it. That is your clue already. You are heading in the wrong direction. You're walking in the wrong path. Now, the challenge is to return to the Lord. But what if we don't? Then we're gone. That's why we need to guide the children from a very young age. Right? Now, there are a few mothers who do that. One mother brought her two sons over and says, going say thank you to pastor for the ice cream. One mother. Right? There are many mothers, but one did it. I remember on a story told 10 lepers, one came back. See, we all think it's okay, no problem. They only say thank you because they have to, not because they want to. We don't train them. They will only do what they have been told to do. It will not come from their hearts naturally. It won't. You need to train them, equip them all the time. This is sanctifying work. The focus in this whole plan of God's salvation was to take up the second one, salvation, sanctification, or be holy, or perfecting holiness. It's the same concept, whether Peter or Paul or Hosea. It's just all over the scriptures. That's very, very obvious. The question is how to understand them and how to apply them. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. Right? So if you can understand this concept, then you begin to realize there's so much more going for us. Right? So let's look at the first thing. Peter puts this as perfection only level one. You mean after perfect you complete is not yet complete? How come? Well, then we are looking at it. Right? So we look at the next word that Peter used. After you have suffered a while. And this is important. After you have suffered a while, now this is very important. See, a lot of people just cannot understand suffering. That's why if you really want to teach children how to take it, suffering, it will go a long, long way. When I was a kid, we learned about suffering. Perhaps not the best way, but it was a very rough, tough way of, you know, right? So you have a toothache, of course the problem is you didn't take care of your teeth properly, so you have a toothache. And so it's really, really painful, but it's at night that the pain started. The dental shops are all not open in the day and at night, so you're going to suffer through it. And as a child, you know, when you are in pain, you cry. And here comes the father who says, "Why you cry? Boys don't cry." You suck the tongue, you suck the pain in and say, "I will never cry before you ever again." That's how I learned to survive. I will never let you see me shed tears. Not before you. We learned the wrong thing. But we learned to be tough. So we learned to survive. That's how we want to learn. We have to learn things. If you don't help yourself, nobody's going to help you. This is very important. You're going to stand down there and hope people will come and talk to you. They won't. Right? That's a reality. It was a really shocking reality when I went to the U.S. to study. You can stand around the whole day and nobody will help you. You can ask, "Where is the office? Are you going down there? What are you going to do? Are you going to help me?" Nope. You're going to ask me, "What do you want?" And they will explain to you, and that's it. You got to survive. We've got to teach our children how to look at the world. It's a tough world out there. Right? Now, this is something that's going to be very important. Like tonight, for example, we have dinner and all that. The children eat very fast. 10 minutes, they're done. And they're more interested in playing around here, and then they run here, run there. You know how dangerous it is to see some of the older folks in our midst and the children running up and down. One of these days, they're going to collide. And then, so sorry. Yeah, but the poor old guy or poor old lady is going to suffer a lot because you didn't take care of your child. See, that's what we mean by learning. We don't teach them well now when they are young. When they grow older, You think they will listen to you? They won't. They just won't. And after a while, nobody cares. So perfection at this level is just a sanctification work, but it is not the end of the story. So we take a look at this idea, okay? After you have been perfected through suffering, right? While you have, this is very important, he will then establish you. Now, the word establishing, I dare not use the word establishing for Bethany, right? 1973-2003. Then I used the word in our stone. Right? It was established. It took me this number of years to use the word establish. Why? Because at any time, the work of the Lord can fail. Right? At any time, things can go wrong. At any time, things can fail. A lot of things can happen. Right? You take a look at how many years it takes to be established. Right? We've already got everything there. You've got Sunday school there. You've got fellowship groups there. You've got services there. You've got teachers there. You have got, right? The number of Sunday school teachers we have is more than the church membership in some of our churches. Right? We have got over 150 Sunday school teachers alone, teachers. Our Sunday school students, over 600 people. We're learning all the time, all from children, right? From the crash to the BSS to JSS to ISS to Cedar Sunday School and to my class, finally. This is the training years. And then we want to take a look at what it really means for us to understand and appreciate it. This is settling, establishing. Right? A lot of people feel, oh, a few more people come, we praise God, we thank God, and now we are established. Hey, you're not even perfected. Don't talk about established. Don't talk about being there yet. Right? And a lot of people, we just fool ourselves because we like to feel that we've done a great job. We feel that our work is very good. Look at it objectively. It's not the same. That is something that we need to consider very carefully. So Peter was very wise. Perfecting is good. Now, why did Paul use the word perfecting there, in that area? Because the church was going the way of corruption. So he has to say, look, this is lack of sanctification. This is what was happening. You got problem after problem after problem. 15 chapters, every single chapter dealing with problems. They've got to cleanse all these things first. So then, after that, you come to only the first level, the perfected level. You mean it's not all? It's not the end? No, it's not. What's the next step over here? Now, watch this very carefully. After you've suffered, perfect, and then he will establish. So was the Corinthian church established? No. You'll be surprised how hard it is to establish. Unfortunately, when you establish something, some people come to the outside, hey, is that no good? Is that no good? Is that no good? Wait a minute. Have you established anything like that before? Really? Do you really know how to establish the church? A lot of people don't. They just open their mouth and talk. But when we take a look at the Lord's work, we begin to realize what we are working. So I need to first and foremost start it. Matthew 7, establish foundation first. Next, build it. And keep perfecting it. Keep perfecting it. All right? Sanctification process. It takes years. And then later on, we dare to say, establish. All right? Now, one more step about being established is the next word we call strengthen. How strong is our church actually? How strong is that church? Now, some people compare this. Have you seen a chain link fence? You know? Now, they're all linked somewhere along the line. And they will tell you, anything like this, the strength of the link is found in the weakest link. So wherever there is a weakness here, that is the strength of the whole chain. How strong are we? Are we that strong at Bethany? Not yet. When will you know we are really strong? When the next generation comes and they can do all that we are doing and more. There will be your strength. Now, not yet. See, third level, establish, strengthen. A lot of people assume a lot of things. We all think we're all there. We're all very strong. I'm not holding my breath. I know what I see. I see things differently. I see weaknesses, a lot of it. Why? Because strength is not your first word. Without the sanctification work, without this part of it here, that's very important. The establishing work, will the strength come? No. Right, think about this. What does it really mean to be strong? And it's something that you learn all the time. And it's not a straightforward thing. You learn further strength. How strong is strong? All right, so if I can lift 100 pounds, am I strong? You compare to the person who can lift 1,000, I'm not. Right? So I look at my exercise steps and everything else, and it's over 14,000. Last night it was 14,000, and the number of kilometers is about 11 kilometers, and I examined further, easy. Right? And sometimes it takes to comfort you. So I make a little bit more effort, moderate. There's nothing I can do to please his watch. Right? It measures it in a certain way. And so far it's been easy to moderate. That's it. So am I all that strong? Frankly, no. My strength is in my weakness in learning to the Lord. Not because I'm physically strong. Right? Strengthen you. How many people are really strong? You won't know how strong you are until the day you die. Tell me how many people did very well to the very end. Abraham? No. Moses? No. Joshua? No. David? No. Tell me how many people were strong to the very end. And those were my heroes. And not so strong after all. Right? All of us got clay feet. Big monument. Golden head. Bronze shoulders, clay feet. That's what it is. We all have clay feet. Not all that strong. Right? So can you see the whole idea going forward? But we've got to establish that perfecting part first. Right? Then the Lord along the way will establish. And then you find real strength there, and that strength You will not know until you are actually in a situation of suffering and you are strong and you say no. I'm not going to give up my faith. I'm not going to deny the Lord. But you dare not to say it because Peter said it and denied. So I don't want to say that I'm strong because I'm not. Right? Because if I'm looking at one, at two, and three. Right? Now this is where, you know, and then finally you are settled. I'm not. I hope you understand this. So when you look at 1 Peter, can you read Peter now on your own? Yes. But make it yours. Otherwise, you just read one verse here, one verse there. You don't know how to tie here, tie there. That becomes a problem. Right? And this is very important. Now, this camp is not just for our church members. It's for also our overseas pastors. Do they know all of these things? No, they don't. There's learning experience for them too. So every time you plan a camp theme, I have to think of what we need to teach the adults, what we need to communicate to the children, what we need to communicate to the overseas pastors. With due respect to them, they all are serving the Lord for many years. But there's still so much more to learn. But that's what we are. That's where we are. Right? And it takes a lot of, that's why it's humble yourself. You see, it takes humility to accept all of these things here. It takes humility to understand salvation. We thought we understood it, but actually we didn't. It takes a lot of humility to understand, I need to be sanctified, I need to be cleansed, I need the Lord to do this great work inside. It takes humility. A lot of people will not say they're wrong. They will not admit they're wrong. They will just not do any of these things. Why? And so do they grow? No. They have hindered themselves because they do not understand these basic principles from the scriptures. And then comes the process of wanting to serve. We always jump from salvation to service. We tend to go to that. Where are you serving? Wait a minute. If people ask you, wait a minute, I am in the process of being sanctified. Isn't it a better thing to say? Well, I am in a, because then we know there's an active work of God inside your life and you are being sanctified. You are seeking to be holy first, which is absolutely correct. All right, so then we talk about the gifts that God has given to us, the inheritance gifts that God has given to us. We actually have a lot of gifts going for us. We just don't understand it. We just don't, haven't figured it out yet. Right? Think about this. I didn't write from 1973, right? I didn't write very much, apart from the usual bulletin. It was in year 2000. Right? Now, think about this. How many years was Pi before I began to write? And once I start writing, this is now 2026, I haven't stopped. So I've covered the entire New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. And if you want to write, you have to master all of them. Before you start writing. This is all part of the whole process of sanctification learning. And then, of course, later on, went on to write on the prophets. So I began with the minor prophets. Hosea was one of the first. And then going on to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. So I have covered more than 3/4 of the Old Testament. But it took me 27 years first before I dared to start writing. A lot of times just, oh yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do this straight away. Can you really do that? Unfortunately, we think too much of ourselves. That's why Paul warns us, do not think more of highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think soberly. So I learn the walk and the path. Okay, I'm just going to be still. Don't write yet. Now, it was interesting to do this because I used to share the messages that I have with people in print until one man from another church, and was speaking, a guest speaker to his church, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, can I give you a word? He says, I read your messages, I've understood, and you know what, it's good. But let me give you a piece of advice. Don't write right now. You're not ready. Now here's an older man, and he says, you're not ready. I hear you, I will read, I am blessed, I'm encouraged, but you're not ready. I say, okay, I hear you. I stop writing. So I waited, trying to discover the truth of what he said. Understand it. 23 years went by. And then I began to write. Which means also to say that all the books in the New Testament I translated from the Greek text. That's where the Greek text comes in useful. Now that is a lot of work. Now people are professional writers. They just write and that's it. I can't. Right? So I have to teach, I have to preach, I have to counsel, I have to write, I have to plan, I have to travel, I have to do all of these things together. Why would I want to do it? Because I'm saved. Because I'm sanctified. I want to serve. But in that order, one and two and three, and all the time, practicing all of these things here. There is a pattern, there is a biblical set of principles that if we follow, we will see success. But if we try to take shortcuts here and there, we pick whatever we want to choose, we do whatever is right in our own eyes, you're bound to fail. You can't see the failure now, you will see it later. Because there are four things to look for. Perfection is only one, the first aspect. Second part, establishing. Third part, strengthen. Fourth part, settle. Are we anywhere near fourth part? No. Are we all that strong? You watch your anxieties, your doubts and all that. Last night I spoke to quite a number of you. I was very late last night. Right? And each one came, whether men or women, tears came. Why? We all struggle with failure all the time. You maybe appear to be very successful on the outside. How are you? I'm great. I'm doing great. Good job. Yeah, great profession. You know, I'm really. And then comes the look at the heart, and life, and problems and difficulties, and then the tears come. We are not doing all that great. Obviously. Why then? It's because this is part of the sanctification process. The sanctification process very often involves suffering. Right? If you do not know how to suffer, can you really understand what it is? First, there are various types of suffering. It could be a self-induced problem. Okay, then you solve it. Right? You have a toothache problem. You don't brush your teeth. Hey, that's your problem. Can you pray, Lord, help me? Hey, go and see a dentist. The answer will be very clear. Because it's self-induced. You created the problem. Now, there are other problems which come about because of authorities, because of all the things that happen in the world. They're not our making, but still not suffering for the Lord. That's a different category. And then we go into that suffering where because of our faith, because of our trust in the Lord, because of our conduct, because of our life in the Lord, people start wanting to find fault. That's another level of suffering. But in all of that, God is actually perfecting your life. They said you can't see it. He's perfecting things we read about in the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, teaching you what it means to be poor. Blessed, all over the way, the meek, the merciful, you name them. The Lord is teaching us bit by bit, cultivating the life of Christ in us. And it takes sanctification to bring the reality of the Lord Jesus and his life into our life, which is going to be tonight's message. How do you know this person is really a Christian? Not on the outside, but when you look at a person's life and you begin to see, there is the Lord Jesus inside the person's life. That is the work of perfecting. Right? But along the way, you begin to realize there's so many areas of weaknesses yet to deal with. And the Lord will patiently work on you, bit by bit. If you let Him, He will perfect. But remember, there is a pattern here. There are biblical principles that you have to follow. You just cannot jump all over the place. Now, let's look at these things here. First, go back to the whole idea of our salvation. There are so many aspects of our salvation that we have. But remember, we are living, we are sojourners and pilgrims in a very hostile, wicked, evil world. Right? If the world can draw us back to our old ways, it will. But if we cannot do that, you come under severe attack, then we have another problem. But in all of these things here, we submit ourselves to the Lord, to His Word, to those who God has given to us as shepherds. Then we listen. We practice submission. It makes sense to you? So when we take a look at all of these things, then we begin to understand this whole idea of the perfecting work that God is doing in our life. And that work is a work of sanctifying. In the language of Peter, it is a sanctifying work. In the language of Paul, it's perfecting holiness. Perfecting holiness is another way of saying sanctification. Right? And it takes a lot of time and effort. You just got to think about these things here. The earliest years are always the hardest because we're so impatient. Oh, I would like to have. Sure, when we were from 1973 to 2003, we were all wanting how nice it would be to have our own church. We don't have. So we had to, every time camp comes, we got to borrow somewhere, to rent a place somewhere. And, you know, we went through it, wilderness, we call it. Go to this church, borrow from this, borrow, whatever we did. But we kept on going to camps until one day we found our place. Right? And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say we've got something given to us, how precious it really is. Right? You know, it's interesting this. There was a whisper that went out that Bethany was going to sell his premises. I don't know what happened. Suddenly, a lot of pastors who are independent, they all wrote to me and said, "Pastor, I hear you are selling the place." Huh? I said, "If you want to sell, please let us know. And please give us a good discount because we are also selling, we also want to serve the Lord." Really? Are you serious? You want to buy Bethany? Fine. $70 million. Oh, like that, we go and stay in our shop house. 1 month pay 2,000. I mean, seriously, are we looking at these things here? There's a lot of challenges out there. A lot of people don't understand the complexities of ministry, of shepherding. It's a lot of work. But before we go to shepherding, before this chapter 5, so salvation, the sanctification, all these things are going to be important. We talk about service, in a holy priesthood, royal priesthood, and you know, go on further. And from there onwards, there we go. The submission part of it is a principle that runs all the way through 2, 3, 4, 5. Right? And then we see, look at these things here. And we have got many battles to fight. And either we win, we succeed, or we succumb. We survive, or we succumb. I'm a survivor. Very much of a survivor. Not afraid of fights, not afraid of anything. Why should we? We do what is right. If we have to suffer for it, we suffer for it. All part of God's plan. All the time. After all of these things here, then the Lord will say, I will now perfect you. And I will then establish you. And I will then strengthen you. And I will settle you. And that would be a great thing to consider. Right? So I've just given the whole book, I've given a whole preview of the whole book, the entire 1 Peter. You see, how wonderful, how beautiful this book really is. Now you know, it's yours now. How wonderful to be able to run to every book like that, you know. I'd be happy to discuss with you. Every book, every epistle of Paul, I can go discuss this with you. Every single chapter. Why? Because it's a part of your life. It really is. And it can be a part of your life too. But you got to make it yours. If you hear, yeah, I know I'm going to do this, and then you're going to fail. It takes a lot to succeed. Ask any businessman. You say, no, easy, I just go in there and sign checks. Sign what check? Are you serious? This is TV kind of success. There's so much work to be done before you can even breathe a sigh of relief. So am I looking for people who will succeed me? Yes. But please tell me who. Any candidate? Tell me. These principles must be followed. Right? And you think about this. How? Where? You know, I like those old Chinese movie films where this person has got a lot of chi inside him, you know. And here is a weak person, you know. Okay, sit here. And then I've got, oh. And now the person is very strong. What? It's not going to happen. There's no such thing as that. Right? But it's a nice dream. Right? You pat a fellow on the head, and okay, I'm okay now. No, it is not going to happen. It takes so much to succeed. Right? It takes years. So, I'm only at first level. The other three, I have not spoken about that yet. How do we find that strength? Maybe one of these years can. Maybe. I say maybe. Don't quote me yet. But think about this thing. I really hope this my joy to just be able to bring forth the word to you, and it's just there. It's just such a joy to read the Lord's word like this and know how it can make sense to every country, every nation. That word of God, it transcends all nationalities, all races. It's just simply the word of God. Right, or go ahead and ask whatever questions you want to raise up before we close for today. And I know everybody's looking forward towards lunch. And it's very, one of the biggest enemies is the next program called lunch. Or, right, this is where the battle always is won by the stomach. And you know, the stomach affects the mind. Once the stomach is hungry, everything goes, you know, just keep on looking at a watch and all. Right? Have you heard of pastors who don't know when to stop? I read this and that was a reminder to me. Sometimes people call a person a reverend. There was one person who doesn't understand church and always calls him a neverend. You know what's a Navarin? You know what a Navarin? You must spell it in order to understand it. What is a Navarin? Right? The Reverend, we all understand. Okay, this is a Reverend. What is a Navarin? A Navarin is a person who never ends. And that's something where I learn. They always tell you, when angels speak, only half an hour. When human being speaks, at least 1 hour. So I try to follow angelic examples. Right? And this is very important. One day a man was saying he was due to give a thank you speech at a dinner and all that. And his wife passed him a note. And people asked him, what did your wife write? And so the wife wrote, kiss. And he said, wow, your wife really loves you. He says, no. She's saying to me, keep it short, stupid. So I don't want to be a Navarin. I hope you understand. I just hope you will understand the whole challenge of this book. At the end of it all, it's just simply your practice of it all. And that's going to be important. Right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing your word a little bit more. And we know that the challenge now is for us to put into practice what we have read, what we have learned, what we have pondered over. And Father, we confess to you how badly we need to do so much more to cultivate our faith and our life. We pray that you will help us to appreciate salvation afresh. But Lord, help us to yield to you on this work of what it means to be sanctified. Lord, allow whatever it is that you have planned to come, including suffering. And help us along the way to be sanctified truly and fully. I pray that you will continue to lead us and help us to become the kind of believer, the kind of saint, the kind of person you want us to be. We pray for your blessings as we seek to apply all this truth that we have learned. Bless us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you for being a wonderful class, and let's look forward to lunch very shortly.